with the power of nature.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, all the nooks and crannies in between. Remember, you have a voice in this. It's not a dictatorship here anyway. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Wait till you find out what we have in store for you this hour, including right off the bat the fact that coming up on Wednesday, the Supreme Court has a big one. It's Arizona versus the federal government, a showdown over SB 1070. And you know what that is? That's the law that they tried to enforce in Arizona where the feds swooped in and said, this is not going to happen. Not while we're here. It's not going to happen because it goes against the laws that we already have on the books. And it's usurps the presence of the federal government in the situation with illegal immigration. And this I am just taking little chunks out of. If we went a little bit further, we would tell you that this has been challenged already in lower courts, and so far it is held up for the administration. This is a big one for Obama. Arizona and immigration is huge because it also plays out for some other states who are trying to do the same thing and get laws on the books that could be enforced that will help them, in a sense, fight the battle of illegal immigration. You can bet that Wednesday it'll be a traffic jam in front of the Supreme Court. The oral arguments in the case of this Arizona law, it goes back to 2010, like I said, the lower courts have said no way. They've halted the key parts of the law. And this is an epic one. This is an epic showdown that will have certainly rippling effects, especially if it goes in a different direction. The Obama administration is challenging Arizona on the grounds that its immigration law was a state overreach. If we just picked out one little point in the government's brief, they say, the decision to admit, detain, or remove a particular alien depends not only on resource constraints, but on numerous other considerations that call for a decision maker to exercise sound judgment on behalf of the nation as a whole, according to a single standard. Now, this is the problem. The problem is states like Arizona are broken. The current system does not work, has never been enforced, and the state is paying an unbelievable price for that awful failure. California and Texas understand because they're dealing with the very same thing. They're saying that Arizona's law, as a response to an emergency situation with illegal immigrants soaking up millions of state dollars in health care and education, is now posing great risks to the state's job market and other things as well. But at issue is the law. And starting off the show this way, important because Wednesday is, like I said, the big day if we're looking forward. Two of the key statutes that have been blocked and will be looked at on Wednesday are the provisions to bar illegal immigrants from getting a job and requiring the police or sheriffs or whoever, law enforcement, to check the immigration status of anyone that they suspect of being in the country illegally in the course of any kind of a routine stop. Now, this ruling from the Supreme Court won't come down till this summer, probably right as the Supreme Court is leaving Washington. I have some interesting info. In the middle of this happening, and this just came out from the Pew Hispanic Center, they say the number of immigrants coming from Mexico to the U.S. has declined, while the number of Mexicans leaving the United States has increased. And there are a lot of factors behind the trend, rising deportations, greater enforcement at the border, growing dangers with border crossings, and the terrible U.S. job market, and the decline in the birth rates in Mexico, if you believe all those numbers. The numbers they say are these, that from 2005 to 2010, 1.39 million Mexicans and their families left the U.S. to return to Mexico. So that would be double the number of people who did it during a five-year period the decade before. They also say they get their numbers from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and that the number of Mexicans apprehended trying to cross the border illegally has dumped off, has plummeted, if you will, in recent years from more than a million in 2005 to 286,000 in 2011. Like I said, if you believe those numbers, that's the key thing. Let's go to Dan, who's listening to us in the great state of Texas. That's a border state. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hello.
Long time no talk to.
I know. We got you right in. You're our leadoff guy. What do you think?
Okay. What do I think about what?
The immigration problem, because the Arizona law is now going to be before the Supreme Court on Wednesday.
Well, I had a joke for you, but the immigration law, I think, will be certified by the Supreme Court to be legalized, and it'll be another defeat for Obama.
There you go, 5-4.
Okay, here we go. Now, this Englishman showed up at the Klondike because he wanted to get in on the gold rush, and he was asking what he needed, and they told him, you got to have a dog sled. You absolutely have to have a dog sled and lots of supplies. So he loaded the dog sled up with supplies. He says, how do I get them to go? And they said, all you got to do is snap your whip and keep the reins tight around your hands and yell mush. So he got all ready and he yelled porridge, and they didn't do nothing. Finally, in frustration, he throwed the whip down and yelled mush, and they drug him all over the ice and nearly killed him. Finally, they come to a screeching halt. He says, thank God I didn't yell beefsteak.
Oh, you do tell some good jokes. That's a good one.
I try to tell the clean ones, but I do get a bit risque sometimes.
You do. I've been good. We are so glad to hear from you, Dan. Well, we have a new number that we have been pumping out across America so everybody can remember it. Because it's better. 855-266-KATE. It's easy to remember.
Oh, Kate. Last thing signifies Kate.
Yes, 85283. If you go on your phone and you tap that out, you'll see.
Well, okay, I'll do that. Is there anything else?
Otherwise, we're all good here, Dan, and thanks so much for the levity. We needed it. We appreciate it. That was good. Thanks. Call us again, Dan. Along with the rest of you, you are certainly invited to the party, 855-266. You heard me say it. Kate, 855-266-5283. You know, along with what Dan is saying, he thinks that the Supreme Court supports it and doesn't go with the lower courts. Because remember, as they drill down the law, looking at the feds versus the states, got some interesting numbers for you that were compiled by a journalist for the Denver Rocky Mountain News. As so many people are listening to what we're saying here about this challenge to the Supreme Court and ultimately what they're going to decide, that there are people that say, well, listen, if you didn't have illegal people in this country that are paying rent, buying groceries, buying clothes, what would happen to the economy if 20 million people, because we think that number's higher, 20 million people went away? And I got to give it to Tina Grego because she came up with some unbelievable facts. We got them for you next here on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Crank up your savings at the Webb's headquarters for hand crank and solar power preparedness. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Save now on solar generators from $289. Solar lanterns, just $24.95. Solar waterproof flashlights, only $12.95. Cook Anywhere solar ovens from $279.95. Portable solar panels from 21stCenturyGoods.com give you the freedom to harness the power of the sun to charge your gear wherever you go. Show your patriotism with our line of solar flagpole lights. Plus, find a full line of emergency and shortwave radios, solar lanterns, and LED flashlights. And see our monthly two-for-one specials at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number two, the number one, ST, CenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. Spend $100 or more and get a free hand crank solar flashlight when you mention you heard us on GCN at checkout. Crank up your savings only at 21stCenturyGoods.com.
Talking about Wednesday and the Supreme Court, listening to oral arguments on the law that's being challenged in Arizona, big portions, rather, of the law, SB 1070, where somebody wearing a uniform, a cop, a sheriff's person, even a Border Patrol guy could do it as well, but really mostly it would be police, I would think. If there was some kind of a violation, they stopped someone, they could ask them for their, basically their ID, if they were in the country legally or not. And people are just outraged by that, say it's like racism and all this other stuff. And so, of course, it was a challenge. It never kicked in 2010. And as all of us expected, it would go all the way to the Supreme Court. Some people were so enraged by the fact that the federal government was taking on Arizona that they donated money to Arizona to help them with their legal defense fund to fight this, because they've had to pay all this money to fight it, and now they're finally in Washington. So which way does the Supreme Court go? A journalist for the Denver Rocky Mountain News wrote an interesting column. The argument always is, hey, listen, if everybody went away, it would tank the economy. Nobody would do the jobs, and it would be the worst. So this reporter, Tina Grego, did a good job. She laid out all the numbers, and looking at the column, I thought it was interesting. She said, what would happen if 20 million people just left America? And here were some of the things she came up with. It's too numerous to go through all of them, but I just want to give you some of the highlights. In California, if 3.5 million illegal aliens move back to Mexico, it would leave an extra $10.2 billion to spend on overloaded school systems, bankrupt hospitals, and overrun prisons. It would leave highways cleaner, safer, less congested, and everyone could understand one another, is what she says, because it would be the dominant language, English, because that's a big problem in California. They've had to have other people learn Spanish. Here's another one. In Colorado, 500,000 illegals plus their 300,000 kids and grandchildren would move back home, mostly to Mexico. Colorado estimates it would save $2 billion. Some others say $7 billion, so that's in dispute. In taxes that pay for schooling, medical, social services, and incarceration costs, 12,000 gang members, they figure, would vanish out of Denver alone. The prisons cost $20 million. Denver public schools have a 67% dropout flunk rate because of the thousands of illegal alien students speaking 41 different languages. They say at least also 200,000 cars would vanish from the gridlock cities in Colorado. In Chicago, 2.1 million illegals would free up hospitals, schools, prisons, same thing, and highways for a more crime-free experience is what they're saying in Illinois, if they cop to it, because they don't like to talk about that. And if we go down even further and talk about more specific things, we could say that, like the New York Times reported, that this is now America's new third world inside our country. And with the current growth rate, they expect 20 million people in the colonies, in like Texas and Arizona. That's how big it would be, meaning that you've got people who live in these new neighborhoods that they think are very much like you would see in Calcutta. So you've got diseases and drugs and crimes and worse. They don't have clean water. They don't have great streets or roads or any of that kind of sanitation, and that's terrible. Certainly you wouldn't want anyone to live like that. And here are just a few other quick numbers for you. $14 billion to $22 billion are spent every year on welfare to illegal immigrants. So that's billion, to be sure. $7.5 billion spent on Medicaid for illegals. $12 billion spent each year on primary and secondary school education for children here illegally. And then they've got to try and learn English, but they're in homes where Spanish is primarily spoken. So this is the last one I'll give you, because her column was all about the numbers, just like this segment is. $190 billion spent each year on illegal immigrants for welfare and social services by the American taxpayers. So the answer to the question is, when she added up all the numbers, and, you know, give or take some of them, they could be more, they could be less, because we don't have an exact figure. She gathered as much as she could from those areas. The total cost would be $538.3 billion a year. The total cost, $538.3 billion a year. That is just a wow. That is just a wow. And that's why we started the segment with those numbers, especially with the big challenge that is coming up before the Supreme Court. All right, let's jump to a few other quick numbers in this segment, because, man, there are a ton of numbers that we could talk about, including the fact that the Dow really tanked on Europe and China fears, because what's going on with Europe and who's out of money and who has to be bailed out with the Eurozone and what's happening with China as well. Which is why I say a lot of times, probably too much, this is why we talk about what's going on in the markets, because of how it affects us with our crappy dollar. So the Dow ended the day down 102 points. The S&P shed about 12 points. which the S&P is now a really big factor in weighing in the markets and where things are going. So that's certainly not good. And we also had the NASDAQ, which lost 30 points. And a lot of what happened is because of news out of Europe. And French President Sarkozy, one of the architects of the European Union, after all what's happening in France, is now in the fight of his life. The fact that he came in second place in the first round of elections behind the socialist candidate has made it pretty interesting with the UE, and it's another sign that things are not looking very good. And also the slowdown in China's manufacturing certainly made investors skittish too. Could be an interesting week, to say the least, to see what happens with the Eurozone and all the sovereign debt default they have and what's going to happen in the runoff election. You get it. So the numbers are not, definitely not pretty there. Medicare funding is going to run short by 2024. That's what the trustees are saying. That's a very ugly number. And there are more numbers we could attach to that. So you got to think about this. How old are you going to be? Where are you going to be in your life? How much were you counting on? Because if you're somewhere in the middle, you were probably counting on something, depending on are you single? Where are you at this stage in your life? Are you newly retired or have you been there for a while? But it certainly highlights all the problems that we've had with health costs, aging population, all of that kind of stuff. They might only be able to pay a portion of the cost starting in 2024. And Social Security is a little bit worse than that. They're saying the same thing when you look at Social Security. In this annual trustees report that they released, it's pretty bleak numbers. Medicare will be able to pay 87% of expected cost by 2024, 67% by 2050. And what else runs dry by 2033? Social Security is really going to be rough. The trustees say that the program will only be able to pay 75% of promised benefits starting that year. So that's 3 years earlier than they predicted last year. And it could continue to get worse. So unfortunately, the financial portion of what happens and where you're going to be, like the separate parts of Medicare Part B and Part D that you need, talking about doctor's visits and prescription drugs, is okay for the next decade. But only because premiums and revenue incomes are adjusted annually rather to match the costs. So we're in a heap of trouble. But you knew that. This is a smart audience. Stay with us. Much more to come. We're kicking the can down the road here on America Tonight.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarette's revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
If you're not prepared, get preparedexpo.com. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Coming April 28th and 29th. Get preparedexpo.com. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. Survival gardening. Water filtration. Long-term food storage. Freeze-dried food. Heirloom seeds. Storm shelters. Survival communications. Solar power. Herbal medicine. Heating with wood. Living off junk. Home defense. Guns. Ammo. Negotiate for your life. Homeschool your children. Start your own home-based business. Get preparedexpo.com. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds. Springfield, Missouri. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Meet your USAPrepares.com instructors. Vincent Finelli, Jeff Olson, The Freeze-Dry Guy, John Moore, Matt Stein, Larry Pratt, Dr. Julie Pinnick, Beth Ann, David Christopher, Julia Shopping, Robert Allen, and over 30 more. GetPreparedExpo.com. Download program flyers and $8 discount coupons at GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss GetPreparedExpo.com. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. It's non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Introduce you to our next guest. I'll tell you a little secret. His wife let me in on something. I was going to Washington, as all of you know, for the Supreme Court oral arguments on the Affordable Health Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare, as even the president is calling it that now. But I was in D.C., and she said that one of the, after all the years of being in D.C. and living in and around, that the one thing that she thought was the best thing that she had done was take, and it was just recently, was to take the night tour of Washington. So I had no plans to do that. We took her advice, we did it, and it was the best thing, except for it happened to be a chilly night. So we had big DC sweatshirts on, and we were sitting there with cups of hot chocolate, but it was terrific. So without further ado, the other half, Colonel, retired Colonel Steve Bauer joins us. Colonel, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Glad to be with you, Kate.
All right. One of the things that your wife also told us is that you were the longest serving military social aide in White House history. Wow, what an honor. How long did that span?
Well, that was 6 years as a social aide, and then I went back and worked as a staff physician under Reagan and Bush 41.
Reagan and Bush 41. So did you, what was it like? Take us back to the first day you did it, your 6 years, the beginning of your 6 years as the social aide, were you like a fish out of water or nah, you could swim right away?
Well, they thought I could swim, and I probably could have, but the first assignment was really an orientation tour, no specific job, 18 military aides, a state dinner, And it was in honor of Mr. and Mrs. DeWitt Wallace, the founders of the Reader's Digest. And the Ray Conniff singers were performing that night, but one of their girls was sick. And a Canadian woman named Carol Faraci put herself in the front row, and before the first number began, she reached in her blouse and she pulled out a cloth banner and held it high in front of President Mrs. Nixon and all the guests, and it said simply, "Stop the killing." Now, this was December of 1971, and so everybody was kind of expecting war protest against the Vietnam War, but nobody was expecting somebody to embarrass the president in his own house. It was quite a beginning to a rather lengthy career.
Yeah, so did you get to know, I mean, even in those 6 years you said Nixon, did you get to know President Nixon and the people around him at all by serving in that capacity?
Well, I did. I talked to him on numerous occasions, and I saw him what was supposed to be publicly, because in all the events that we were at, there was always media invited. They didn't always bother to attend, but most of the time they did. But I saw him quite a bit in semi-private situations, and he was a stiff character around people that he didn't know very well, but it really was a popular defense in Washington to keep people at bay. That he didn't know. He didn't want anybody to get too close that he didn't know, but privately he could be very, very funny.
I've heard that from other people. He was pretty quick with a joke.
He was very fast, and when he could relax, as I think most presidents do, you know, they know when they're on the hot seat. They know most of the time when they're in the public eye. They don't always realize when the mic is live, but they do know when everybody is watching, and they tend to be very formal and very presidential, and they tend to relax a little bit when they think other people aren't around.
Yeah. I had the chance to meet President Reagan when I was just a kid. I was out of college and just had gotten into broadcasting and was in California, and he had a big thing for the media at his ranch, and I couldn't believe how personable Ronald Reagan was. Did you find the same thing when you worked in that White House?
I thought he was a very, very regular guy.
Yep.
People criticize him for being detached, but he wasn't detached. He was just above minor details. He gave everybody the broad picture, and he let the staff figure out how to do it. Exactly a contrast to Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Who micromanaged virtually everything, including the attempted rescue of the hostages at the U.S. Embassy in Iran, which cost him the presidency, I suspect.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you see, because you, during the Reagan years, you saw some tense times and some celebratory times. Do you remember the whole Mr. Gorbachev tear that wall down? Do you remember what it was like around those times? That had to be pretty, I would think that'd be a pretty exciting atmosphere.
Well, everybody was kind of expecting that the Russians were on the run, and at least at that particular time they were. And it was the president's responsibility to make sure that everybody knew that. And of course, he knew that, and he took advantage of it, and it worked out very well. The wall didn't fall until George Herbert Walker Bush got in office, but nevertheless, everybody credits, I think, correctly Ronald Reagan with doing it, and it was because we had a strong defense.
Yeah. With the media and the White House, because you would have certainly seen that and been through the ropes there, the media, of course, the job when you cover the White House, as you know, is to get as much information out as possible to beat the other networks. So did you find that the media would try to saddle up to you and try to get little tidbits out of you, Colonel, when you were there?
They always ask questions like, what's going on? What do you see behind the scenes? And, you know, it didn't take a very bright aide, and, of course, we thought pretty bright aides, but it didn't take a very bright one to figure out that you better not answer a question like that, because you'd probably get quoted in the press, and that wouldn't be good for a military career. Everybody that was there and in the capacity that I was in was a military socialite, active duty military officers, and they were obviously there because they were smart and capable, but they wanted to maintain a good career standing, and so they didn't do things that would confuse your military career.
So when you were there for Reagan and for Bush one, Papa Bush, what was the job? What would be a normal day for you? As I say normal, because of course every day is different in the White House. But what would normally be what you would do in your role?
Well, I was a military social aide for Nixon, Ford, and Carter, and I had a staff position in the Office of Federal Procurement Policy under Reagan and Bush 41. And so I didn't see as many social events at all that I saw earlier, but I served as a military social aide under the first three presidents, and that's where I got to interact and go to all of the social functions at the White House and tell people where to stand, mm-hmm. help run the receiving line, and most importantly, dance with little old ladies at the end of the evening.
Did you ever get to dance with any of the president's wives?
I don't recall dancing with the president's wife. I did dance with Susan Ford one time. On one occasion, President Ford had told Susan that Betty wasn't going to make it that evening. She wasn't feeling good. And so Susan said that she would be glad to be the hostess if the president would buy her a new dress. And she wore a red dress that night. And the president went around telling everybody that the dress only cost him $50. But this was, again, this was in the middle 70s, and the band started playing a popular tune at the time known as The Bump, which you would consider, I suppose, then it was kind of a wild dance, but today it'd be pretty tame by today's standards. But nevertheless, we danced The Bump, and then afterwards, the Navy aide to the president came over to me when the president cut in on us and took Susan away. And he said, you know, Major, we don't dance like that at the White House. And so I looked at him, and I thought, oh, geez, you know, I've done it now. This is the end of my military social aid career. But I asked him, I said, would you like to tell the president's daughter, or shall I? And he looked at me for a while, and he finally said, I'd take care of it, but I never heard anything more about it.
How about so on the receiving line, as you said, going through the three different presidents, Nixon, Ford, and Carter, do people get kind of nervous because they didn't really know what you're supposed to do? It's like, you know, in England, how you have to practice that whole curtsy thing. Of course, you're not curtsying to the president and his wife, but then you have the dignitaries, and it depends on what the function is. But did you find that people would get, you know, ask a lot of questions because they weren't really sure what the protocol was?
It did not matter how important somebody was or how accomplished they were in the world, whether it was arts or sports or whatever it happened to be. They were all shell-shocked when the president walked in. Everybody was nervous, even the entertainers. I saw Frank Sinatra nervous. I mean, everybody was nervous. We anticipated everybody being surprised at the appearance of the president, so we had one of the aides that was what we call the setup aide, and before they would walk through the receiving line, the setup aide would remind everybody that they were holding a drink because they would forget it. They were holding a cigarette back when they allowed smoking, and they would forget that they were holding a cigarette. They were so mesmerized by the appearance of the president, the first lady, and a visiting head of state that a lot of them wouldn't realize what was going on. And if we didn't quietly tell them, they wouldn't know. And they could have walked through the receiving line holding a drink, and then, of course, at the last second, they would have realized it was an embarrassment. But that's one of the things that setup aides did, among other things. It took about 18 military social aides to run a state dinner in the White House. And you won't often see them on television because many of them are working in the background, making sure people are standing in the right place and doing the right thing. And, of course, the people appreciate being told where they're supposed to be so that they feel better, you know, more comfortable in doing what they're doing because they know it's the right thing to do because somebody that looks like an official told them.
Yeah. Here, this is what you're supposed to do. Okay. What? Yes, sir. Wherever you want me to go, I will go there. I could see that with Frank Sinatra. That's funny. Great tales. We could talk to you this entire show. Retired Colonel Steve Bauer, thanks so much for coming on. We'll have you on again because we haven't even talked about your books. You have a gazillion books. And we'll next time you're on, we'll talk about your books.
This particular book is called At Ease in the White House, and it's available on Amazon if anybody's looking for it.
I love it. Thanks so much, Colonel.
Thank you, Kate.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, camel milk. Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and camel milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And camel milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the spring special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
BePrepared.com is making deals in April because you need to be prepared now and you need to save. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, a 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies. Everything from long-term food storage to emergency kits, water storage and filtration to alternative light and heat sources. What's on sale? Now through April 30th, save 28% on a freeze-dried garden vegetable combo, which includes peas, corn, beans, cauliflower, celery, and onions. Save 33% on the Katadyn Hiker Micro Filter. New instant white rice as low as $8.49 and a 72-hour MRE food and water supply, a $72 value for only $49.99 and much more at BePrepared.com. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and our low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. Hurry, the BePrepared.com April sale ends April 30th. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
All whey protein powders are not created equal. Fresh liquid whey has been used for hundreds of years to restore health to the sick and youth to the aging. Why is it that no one reports these benefits from today's whey protein powders? It is because they are all processed with heat or chemicals, which damages the protein and amino acids, making them allergy-causing or toxic to your body. One World Whey's True Cool process retains all the powerful properties of fresh raw whey in a concentrated powder. My name is Stephen Heuer. As a degreed nutritionist, my goal is to make you healthy in as short a time and as affordably as possible. One World Whey is speeding up the process of helping people get healthy and is replacing the need for many other supplements, making it more affordable. To learn how One World Whey may help you with fat loss, the elimination of inflammation and pain, detoxification of heavy metals, intestinal health, brain function, and increases in strength, energy, and muscle size, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Get my story straight. My friends are in the welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, of course, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. We've been talking about this a lot, the case against the U.S. soldier accused of killing 16 people in those two Afghan villages. And part of the reason we're also talking about this is because a lot of the soldiers that we talked to about post-traumatic stress syndrome, turns out that the soldier in question who had served, had done a couple of different tours, had actually been in one of those roadside bomb accidents, one of those incidents, and had some trauma to his brain, but was sent again back to Afghanistan. So as this is getting sorted out, you can imagine, and certainly we have taken it apart here on America Tonight, but the attorney, John Henry Brown, who's representing the soldiers, saying that he'd been training to become a military recruiter for 3 tours of duty in Iraq, but had been ordered to return to Afghanistan almost overnight. We're not going to solve that riddle here, but somebody who knows a lot about post-traumatic stress syndrome, our next guest, who is actually sitting there in our virtual green room right now as I speak, but Dr. Ken Menegas joins us now. And he is a specialist in this area. He's a forensic psychologist and vocational specialist. What it basically means to you and me, he's in the thick of this. He has testified and whatnot and certainly knows PTSDs. Hey, Dr. Ken, thanks so much for coming on ATN.
Hey, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about what we're seeing with post-traumatic stress syndrome. Do you think, because you focus so much of your career on this, do you think people are finally catching up and understanding the symptoms and being able to see it, or no, we're still a very long way away from that?
Well, I think that we are becoming more and more familiar with the profile of what happens in a trauma situation and how it is that that traumatized person can develop symptoms that, and they're called symptoms, a cluster of feelings, activities, behaviors that are identified as post-traumatic stress disorder. Back in 1981, 82, I testified on behalf of a soldier who had returned from Vietnam and had held his congregation hostage with his M14, and it was the first, or one of the first, defenses of a soldier based upon a post-traumatic stress disorder that was held here in the United States. It was in West Virginia, and we were successful in that instance in his defense. In talking about Bailey, the guy who is accused of the killings over in Afghanistan, he too really has a very understandable profile for post-traumatic stress disorder. One of the earlier disclosures had to do with his having been injured, not only having perhaps had a closed head injury from a concussive difficulty, but also having had an injury to his foot, where he had lost some of his foot, or had injured one of his feet. And the day before he had allegedly committed these atrocities, a friend of his, a buddy of his, had also been injured, traumatized, and he had lost his leg. And it's not uncommon for a person who has had their own trauma, like Bailey, to have been re-traumatized by a friend having, in this case, lost a similar body part. So we have Bailey having been re-traumatized by his friend's loss. We had the repetitive times that he had to serve in Afghanistan after Iraq. We had a number of different issues that profiled him as a greater likelihood of having post-traumatic stress disorder.
Wow. So PTSD, not to be confused with what I think I said earlier, post-traumatic stress syndrome, because a little bit of a difference there. But with the PTSD, unfortunately, we're seeing more of that with what's happened both in Iraq, the kind of warfare, and Afghanistan is what we're talking about here. And I guess the thing is, the military is recognizing that. So, Doc, from your point of view, that has to be a good thing that they're starting to put together the pieces and realizing the seriousness of the treatments that have to happen for a lot of these soldiers that come back, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And part of the military's approach has also been to help prepare that soldier for what he anticipates, and to prepare them by, if you will, inoculating them, not with an actual drug, but rather with preparation about what they can anticipate, so as to reduce the likelihood of having post-traumatic stress disorder. There are obviously a number of different symptoms that people have when they have PTSD, and those include a remembrance of the issue as though, or the incident, the trauma, as though it were reoccurring while it is that they're awake, called the flashback. They have triggers, that is, cues and clues that remind the person of that incident in the past happening again. And that could be a sound, it could be a sight, it could be the location about where it had happened, where the trauma had happened. they can have what's known as a hypostartle response. That is a very quick response of agitation or fear or upset when it is that they are hear a loud noise or are approached from behind and they're unanticipating that approach. They can also have a hyper alertness. They scan the environment for danger. So there are a collection of things that the symptoms that are known as post-traumatic stress disorder have. And what the military has made an attempt to do is to anticipate those things happening to the soldier and to train them how it is that they can respond differently.
Ooh, there you go. And I was going to ask you, too, about the treatment. What are some of the common treatments for people who suffer from this, not just soldiers, but other people who may have this something that triggers this in them? What kind of treatments does somebody get?
Well, it's not uncommon for them to have, and there are different kinds of treatments. Some of them work preferably for some people rather than others. There's a thing called flooding. Flooding means that they re-expose the person to those images, to those conditions, and they so that the person relives them actually in the protection of being with a therapist, so that they repeat the story or repeat the incident, and they talk them down from that feeling of agitation. And that helps with some people. It hurts like crazy for others. It doesn't work at all. Some people need to have a medication. And it turns out, interestingly, that some of the victims of and the survivors of post-traumatic stress disorder have these nightmares. And when they've done a study of the nightmares, the physical contents of the person's blood has a number of chemicals in it, not unlike adrenaline, which we have while we're awake. But while we're asleep, we don't have these same levels of drugs, neurotransmitters in our system, hormones in our system, except if you are a survivor from post-traumatic stress disorder, where you would have that same exact level of hormone in your system. So the people who are suffering from PTSD have this adrenaline, and they're also having a nightmare. It's as though they were awake, only they are asleep. Sleep is a curative factor. So one of the things that helps with post-traumatic stress disorder are medications. They've tried some high blood pressure medications, which reduce the likelihood of the person having those levels of adrenaline in their system while they're asleep. So medication is another way that they help with people to reduce their agitation, to reduce their nightmares, to reduce their upset physical system.
And let's hope anybody listening, if you feel like you fit into one of these categories for whatever reason that the doc's talking about, please definitely seek some kind of help and get some consultation anyway, so you can look for some of these treatments that would be available to you, because it's certainly not just folks in the military who suffer from PTSD. Dr. Ken Mangas, you were terrific. We just scratched the surface. We'd love to have you back on again. Thank you so much.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks, Kitty. You take care.